Guardians and personal representatives, it's a lot easier to know what acceptance is. You accept by oathing, as I call it, taking the oath and submitting your bond. So if you don't want to accept, don't take the oath, don't submit your bond, and you won't have done it. Declination. The first thing to know about declining trusts is that it's not expressly necessary. You're not going to incur any liability for acting as trustee if you don't accept the trust. However, in a couple cases, it can make really good sense to actually expressly decline the trust and tell the world, I'm not associated with this thing. A couple of examples is, you know, if a settlor creates a trust, deeds some property into the trust, and they deed it to this named trustee as trustee of the trust, you may want to go out there and tell the world, hey, I'm not actually the trustee, because if someone gets hurt on the property or something happens and there's a lawsuit involving that property, you don't want to have to get in there and have to hire a lawyer to answer on your behalf and get you out of the suit. Maybe a lot less expensive to just file something in the deed records, do something to tell the world, I've declined the trust, I'm not acting. And then, of course, it can also be helpful in getting the named alternates appointed. And we do this all the time in probate applications and guardianship applications and documenting successor trustees. It helps the judge feel better if not only do you say, hey, I'm the successor trustee or executor, but also here's a document signed by the people named before me saying that they do, in fact, not want to serve. And there's actually a quirk with regard to testamentary trust, and it's got that red dot, meaning that's something that I was kind of surprised about, too. There's authority out there that says if your client is the named executor of a will, and that will creates a testamentary trust that your client is the named trustee of, by qualifying as executor, they may have also accepted the trust. So if you have an executor who says, hey, I'll probate the will, but I don't want to be the trustee of this trust for the next 30 years, you need to be cautious in how you submit your probate application and take your oath and maybe do a couple of extra steps to make sure that if your trustee and executor doesn't want to be trustee, that you maybe paper it up a little bit and make sure that you're expressly not accepting the trusteeship by being appointed as executor. Resignation. And we'll talk about the effects of resignation in a little bit, but we'll talk basically about how to resign first. So for trustees, there's two ways with one big asterisk next to it. The first way is you can always ask a court for permission to resign. That's pretty common. You can always do that. And the second way is you can resign in any manner provided for in the trust instrument. So that's why there's an asterisk, because if the trust provides for a bunch of ways, then there's a bunch of ways plus going to ask the court for permission. If there's no ways, you may be stuck going to ask the court for permission. With guardians and personal representatives, there's a process of asking the court for permission to resign, having a hearing, doing your final accounting, and all those things. We're not going to dive into the actual procedure process for that. A lot of that's outlined pretty specifically and very well in the code and also in the guardianship manual if you have that as a resource. So we'll move on. But the big question is, once you've resigned, now what? Executors are kind of special, and in the sense that the court can approve an executor's resignation and discharge him from his duties and just leave nobody there to serve, which is unique when you compare it to trustees or guardians, and it's great for executors because you can get out and it's not your problem anymore. However, guardians and trustees typically have to serve until a successor is appointed or until they're discharged from their duties. So that interim period between resignation and discharge, you still have your same fiduciary duty, you still have to follow the terms of the trust, make your distributions, and it can kind of be a bad shock to the client because they may come to you and say, I want to resign, and you talk to them, oh, that's pretty easy, you just do XYZ, record your resignation, and then they do that and they say, I'm done, right? And you say, well, no, you're actually not done at all, you just have to keep doing exactly what you've been doing. What you really want to do is get discharged. And starting with discharged from your duties, this is when you actually get relieved of having to act as trustee. So for trustees, you can get discharged generally in three ways. A successor can be appointed, the trust can be terminated, or you can get discharged by court order. And with guardians and personal representatives, you typically always require a court order to get discharged. Discharge from liability is the other discharge we always want, and that's the goal at the end of the day, right? We want our clients off the hook from serving in their fiduciary capacity, but almost just as important, we want them to be able to walk away with no liability and not have to worry about getting sued later. And one of the main reasons for that is because, as the slide says, defense is a lot more difficult if you wait. If my client's serving as trustee, they have a pot, they have access to the trust funds and the trust assets to hire an attorney and defend themselves, and they've got some resources to fight the battle. But if you resign and you turn over the property to the successor trustee, you may have to, the trustee may have to foot the bill for their defense, which if there's any litigators out there, you guys aren't cheap, and it may be difficult for a prior trustee to front $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, however much it's going to cost to defend the suit after the fact. The other thing is, why you want discharge from liability, is that clean breaks are good. And this, you see this with successor trustees a lot, especially with some institutions. They don't want to take over a trust if there's a whole lot of lingering questions. They like to see the accounting. They like to know that there's not going to be any claims or messes. And a lot of them say, hey, we want a discharge or a release of the prior trustee so we know we don't have to go back after them and investigate things they've done and maybe bring claims against them for damages.